Hey everyone, this is Thomas with Yakkerbot Talk, and this is episode 7. Let's get to it. Well, hello again, everyone. This is Thomas, like I said. Thanks for just taking the time to plug me in. That's just I really appreciate that. And if this is your first time here, I hope you enjoy the interview. Wanted to just start off by saying there's been some pretty big changes over with MiniChat. MiniChat is it's kind of like the Apple of the messaging app platforms. I know some people either like or dislike that analogy, but they just came out with an update, which is very, very excited. I'm going to be going into that a little bit more in depth next episode, but stay tuned. If you guys are MiniChat users, that's definitely very, very positive news coming over from the MiniChat team. So excited to bring that to you guys here shortly. But today's episode, I actually have C-Roll over at Broid.ia. And he's just really passionate about communicating and entrepreneurship, communications rather, and entrepreneurship. I mean, he learns, he creates, he tests, fails, gets back up, learns some more, and keeps trying new things, right? And he spends basically half of his day on messaging apps. So it was only natural that he joined the Broid team as VP of marketing. So, and they're on a mission to unify messaging technology. So without further ado, here we go. Hope you guys enjoy. Well, hello everyone again. This is Thomas. I have C-Roll Marquez.
Marquez. Hello. Hello, Thomas. Hello, everyone.
I think that's going to be a pretty reoccurring theme on my this podcast is just butchering people's names.
I guess.
Oh gosh. But he's with Broid, and he's today we're going to be talking about Facebook messaging apps, the chat bots, and you know what the history of that is, and go from there. So, but how are you doing? How have you been today?
I'm really good. You know, I'm in Montreal, so it's pretty sunny today. Yeah, we've got okay temperature.
Nice.
So it's actually a cool month of October. So everything's perfect.
Awesome. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself and, how did you get into the bot world, just to kind of start there? Like what's your brief history, and then we'll kind of get into the main questions that I have for you.
Okay, sure. I'm from France. I don't know if it sounds or not. Maybe
no.
Well, I can do that accent if you want, but so I basically started in finance.
Okay.
And then quickly moved on to web marketing because I really, you know, I'm a geek nerd, stuff like this.
Nice.
So I really felt better doing marketing than finance. Yeah. What I did is worked mostly in startups when I joined marketing, and I've been in the startup world for now, I guess, 6 or 7 years.
Wow. Awesome.
And 4 years in Canada now. And so I've been working with some startups here, and as product manager and business intelligence manager. And basically, I'm really interested into messaging because it's early on we thought with some colleagues that it was really going to be a big hit, and so we started to work on side projects about messaging and bots. And when there was this big hype with the magic. And, you know, it was text-based concierge. And so that's how I came, interested in into that bot world and messaging world.
Oh, that's awesome. So I that's a perfect segue into the first question. I mean, what is the big deal about messaging? Like what's the appeal there?
What's the big deal? It's a pretty big question, actually. So maybe we could just start with a brief history of messaging.
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
So basically, there's two different messaging. I'm going to focus on one. There's the group messaging, which is like chat rooms, you know, and internal communication tools like Slack or Teams or stuff like this.
Okay.
And there's the social messaging, which is more a one-to-one conversation. So basically Skype, Facebook Messenger, text messages and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I'm going to focus on social messaging because I think it's pretty much the, I mean, the big deal is about social messaging. If that's fine with you, of course.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's very appropriate to the podcast. So let's definitely do that.
Okay. So social messaging is not new. I mean, you can see some pretty cool examples in Game of Thrones, I guess, with the ravens and messages. And
yeah,
that was a lame joke, maybe. Anyway,
totally.
So I'm going to pass on the Telegraph and stuff, but let's say that social messaging pretty much started with the rise of the mobile phone. You know, when it began to be available to the general public, and just not some fancy tools for businessmen.
Right.
So texting, basically.
Okay.
Funny anecdote, basically, on texting. It started in 1992. Yes, that's it. And the first text message was basically Merry Christmas, and it was sent to a certain Mr. Jarvis. Not kidding. So
wow.
I don't know if that name rings any
bells. No, it does. That's funny. I wonder if there's any relationship there.
I'm not sure, but anyway, it's kind of funny when I found that out and say, oh, I'm going to do a blog post about it.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, so people got used to send short messages in order to communicate, basically avoiding a time-consuming conversation. And it's always easier to break up over text than over the phone, I guess. And so from 2007, that's the word. Basically, Americans send and receive more text than phone calls.
Wow.
Just so you know. Yeah.
Wow, a decade ago that happened.
Yep. And today it's 23 billion SMS sent every day globally.
Every day?
Yep.
Wow. I'm like a billion of those, though.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
oh, that's you.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Oh, man. Anyway, of course, texting is not the only platform for social messaging. In the late 90s, we've got the rise of instant messaging with AIM.
Okay.
Yahoo Messenger and from Microsoft MSN, of course.
I remember that on my Sidekick when I had one. Sidekick 2.
Yep.
So,
so that was those platforms grew millions of users every year. I think MSN or web Live Messenger, I think it was called for the run. I think it got up to 300 million users, something like that.
Wow,
it was kind of huge at that time.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, for today it's like okay.
Yeah, sure. Sure. When you're dealing with a population of 7 billion people, you know?
Exactly. Anyway, but, and then we've got the years 2000 when some other players came in. So Twitter basically used the same experience as text messages with the tweets of 140 characters.
Right.
And then we got Google Talk, which was also called Google Chat, I think, with Skype, of course, and Facebook Chat then that arrived,
mm-hmm.
and iMessage from Apple.
Mm.
And of course, in the last decades, you know, the biggest messaging apps. So Snapchat, WeChat, Viber, Line, Kick, Facebook flagships, WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, which basically became a standalone app in 2014, I think.
Right.
And basically those two last, so WhatsApp and Messenger, they processed 60 billion messages every day.
Oh,
so that's
gosh.
Like three times the number of SMS.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's a huge number.
Yes, exactly. Well, they got like more than 1.2 billion users, so.
Sure. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, okay. So, I mean, I guess that kind of leads into the next question. I mean, unless there's a little bit more there.
That's when you understand those numbers, you understand that messaging is actually a big deal. And I could basically maybe add that messaging has become such a huge part of our lives that I think 80% of internet users, they're actually using some kind of messaging apps. So,
wow.
Yep.
So how does that compare to this, or how, what is the size of that compared to social media then?
Okay. So actually, I think it was in 2015 that the top four messaging apps, they had more monthly active users than the four biggest social networks. So
you're talking like bigger than Facebook, bigger than Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the four top messaging apps being WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger, WeChat, and what was the last one? Anyway, and in social networks like Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and LinkedIn.
Wow.
Yep. So a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. So huge deal. Because exactly. I mean, it's literally more than what social media actually is. So a lot of people are actually using this, especially WeChat, right? I mean, there's just
in Asia, and especially China, it's everyone's using it for everything.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that's so. I mean, people who are willing to kind of go into like that foreign market and maybe set something up there is might be a prudent course of action if they can manage that, huh?
Yep, definitely. Yeah. Well,
that's awesome. So how does that differ from everyday social media then?
Oh, okay. So basically, the experience is pretty different. Usage is different. Social media was kind of a digital version of our lives. So okay. Like we open thoughts and we share pictures and everything that social networks allows us to do. And messaging is different in the sense that it's basically one-to-one conversation, one-to-one experiences. So it's more intimate, and some apps allow also to make the message disappear after a few seconds.
Oh, so, sure.
Which is pretty different than social networks where it's here to stay.
Yeah.
And so for brands, it's actually different because, social media, it created influencers marketing. So basically people would relay brands' message. And with messaging, it's, as I said, it's pretty intimate. So brands just have one-to-one conversation with their customers, but it's even more powerful because they have access to, the actual customer and not just relay messages or hope they're going to open it with email. So I think messages has got like 80% open rate compared to like 20 or 30% open rate for an email.
Yeah. Somewhere between like 70 to 100%. Open rate, but 80, that 80 is probably a pretty decent and real average. Like it's just nuts. The open rate.
Mm. And so basically what I would say is the keyword for, today is conversation. So, this is where the usage is different than with social media. It's basically people want to converse and, they want to do it on the apps they're using. So that's why brands have to understand that they shouldn't, ask your users to download another app to get in contact with them. They should just be there where the users are.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was talking about this on the last episode. It's like, going to a hotel, it's like, there's no way I'm going to download the hotel's app. I'm just like, my phone's better than that. sorry, Marriott or wherever,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what was the last, how many messaging apps do you have on your phone, basically?
Oh my gosh. Like 5 or 6, probably.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the average.
Yeah. I mean, it just, there's so many of them, and different ones are used for different purposes.
Absolutely,
but
that's pretty interesting to the difference of usage between the apps. Basically, the businesses can leverage that and use Messenger for specific purpose, and then they're going to use Skype or Line or WeChat. They all have their specific features,
right?
Specific audience. So it's pretty interesting to find the right channel for your business.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, I guess, that kind of leads me into my next question. It's like, how would this be helpful to like a budding entrepreneur?
Anything can be useful for an entrepreneur, right?
Okay.
You're building something, you need to do whatever tool you can use. Although, like anything, you need to have the right use case. Let's say that, to me, messaging is like the new community management. Okay.
So, what do you mean by that?
Okay. When social networks boomed, basically first businesses that pioneered, sorry, into it. They got huge wins. For example, Ford was the first brand to reveal a vehicle on Facebook, first one to join Google Plus as well. And so those pioneers were like, you know, they had huge reach and they were the best, not the best, the first basically on it, the first brand on it. So it was pretty, huge wins for them. And so the fact is that today, if a brand does not have a social media presence, it just does not exist, you know?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
So many brand platforms available today that can basically, bring your social media presence from none to huge presence. So there are tools and you have to use them, and there's nothing, you cannot avoid it. And to me, messaging is kind of the same, you know, we're seeing the same phenomenon. Basically, some companies have understood that pretty early, and conversation is a game changer. So companies like Intercom, Drift, Buffer, for example, they started the messaging business a while ago. But just by providing, a chat interface for websites, they have huge success on it. And
I like that feature when I go to a website and I do have questions, that little, message us icon pops up, you know.
It's a great tool for so many things, for selling, for answering questions, for customer service, for anything. That's really a great tool, and that's how an entrepreneur could use it. I mean, that could be a mean to help their business. But also, messaging could also be a business. So we're still in the beginning of that new paradigm. Sorry. And there's so many untold areas where an entrepreneur could bring value. So we're really pioneering into messaging. So of course we're going to talk about bots and so many things to say about bots. But apart from bots, which is basically, you know, bots is not a thing in it. It's just it's not a why, it's a how. I like that phrase.
What do you mean by that, though?
So it's basically an interface, okay?
Okay.
So the bot will not replace the purpose of what you want to do. So you have to use your bot to do the job that has to be done.
Interesting.
So if you want to build a bot just for the sake of building a bot, you're going to fail, 100% sure.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I mean, just having that purpose, you know, and just utilizing this as a how to engage with people versus the end all be all.
Yep. And it goes back to, you know, having the right use case. And if I take the example of Snap Travel, I don't know if you know this company from Toronto. They basically have a huge success. They have a bot that could book your tickets, airplane tickets and hotels. And they have quite a huge success. And basically, that's due to the fact that they have a very smart, balance between three different types of experience. So they have their bot that's available on the messenger and text, I think. But when the bot reaches its limits, basically they jump to an agent or to web views within the messaging app.
So that's
pretty interesting to see that, you know, the bot is limited and they have to leverage other interfaces or other means.
Totally. Well, that's awesome. Okay. That sounds like an awesome use case, especially with an agent or somebody standing by to kind of take over.
They have to, because, that NLP, NLU is basically still too young.
Yeah.
And then it's like 70% failing rate, I think, on Facebook, which is huge. More than usual.
Just for everybody else, I mean, can you describe what NLP is?
So neural language processing and neural language understanding.
True AI, right?
Well, no, it's part of AI. Okay, it's not AI itself. Well, I'm no expert on AI, but NLP and NLU are both components of true AI. Mm-hmm. Basically, NLP will take a sentence and will process the sentence and extract words, you know, and what those words mean. For example, I don't know. I want a coffee. I want to order a coffee.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Or I want to order from Starbucks. So NLP will just process this. Okay, order. It's going to extract the word order. So this guy wants to order something. And Starbucks, okay, it's going to be, okay, coffee.
Okay. Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
And NLU will get the intent. It's way more complicated. So let's say that I'm asking, you know, I don't know. I want a triple mocha. NLU will, okay, I want, it's going to, okay, it's going to take the sentence itself, say, okay, this guy wants to order something, because I want is not the keyword for ordering, you know?
Right.
So NLU is more like getting the intent behind the phrase.
Right, which is what some of these bots just, they don't have anything of.
yeah. But
so it's exciting that it's being developed.
Because, you know, the issue with AI and NLU and NLP, basically it requires huge amount of data set. So, because it has to learn, and it's really difficult, and we're not yet there yet. Definitely not there yet.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be awesome when we can just, you know, it's like, you know, upgrade bot, you know, now with, you know, NLP and NLU, just kind of install it on your bot. So it's like, you know,
But it's kind of why, to me, bots, you know, they have yet to succeed, because I, apart from some exceptions like StatTravel and some other, you know, Poncho bot, the weather bot, which has some success, but to me it's pretty limited still. I mean, bots are not part of our lives, right? Give me an example of one bot that is killing it today.
Yeah, I mean, I think with certain bots, with lead gen, you know, people are killing it. I know that one of my clients actually sells an online course, so the bot runs them through a sequence, and then they can land on a landing page.
I get it, but it's not a bot. I mean, it's not intelligent. It's just basically an if-then rule, right?
Oh, so, totally. So yeah, I mean, but you're doing it in a conversational setting. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely not to the point where it can handle everything.
Exactly. So what could be cool actually for an entrepreneur is make a bot or some kind of, you know, process into a bot that will basically you know, take questions and queries and send them to the right person or to the right page. You know, some kind of, you know, like a train that is you know, shunned to different well, maybe not a good
like a Wikipedia sort of thing.
Okay, let's say that I arrive on a website, and there's this bot that pops up and say, hey, Cyril, you know, Cyril.
Right.
Because the pronunciation is pretty good when it's written.
Right, so, it's perfect.
So what do you want to do? So I'm going to ask, okay, I'm pretty interested in that feature. And so maybe that bot is going to, you know, send me some detail about that feature from an FAQ it has in the back end. Or maybe it's going to send me to a conversation with the product manager about that feature. And if I have a question about pricing, maybe I can be sent to the sales department.
Oh, I see.
I think that's a pretty cool use case for bots at the moment, because they're not smart, let's be honest.
They're totally programmed to do very simple things.
Exactly. So they just, you know, if they can just act as a simplifier and you know, like basically or not organizing, but sending people to the right person or to the right information, this is great.
Yeah, totally. I think the main appeal is the fact that it's automated. You know, you can have a thousand conversations with people all at once, and you know, they kind of end up with the same result that you're trying to lead them down. And you know, some of them, you know, like any landing page or any website, you know, some of them are going to find it helpful, some of them are not. But it's done on a platform that they're already used to, and you know, typically when they engage, they're knowingly engaging with, you know, what they're going for.
Yep.
So
exactly.
That's awesome.
You know, you said something interesting. Basically, a bot or any automated process can have several conversation at the same time, which is a a huge benefit for me, for any business. And it's that the big difference in customer services, for example, about handle some of the conversation, depending, of course, of the size of your tech stack behind.
Right.
But that's key, because, you know, today, and we're seeing this with the Facebook Messenger features, responsiveness is a big deal. So people, they don't want to wait for the information.
Right.
They want you to answer, and they want you to answer if possible right away. So
yeah, like right now.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the now generation. You know, you, me, we want it now. We don't want to wait. So it's the same for messaging, of course.
And yeah, I mean the nice thing is, I mean, there's enough resources and technology available that, I mean, honestly, you don't have to wait. You just have to set it up, and then you don't have to wait. So
that's right. But I don't know if you've been on a Facebook page lately or checked the Facebook page, but there's now like a badge that's a very responsive to message.
It gives like, you know, average response time or whatnot.
Exactly. And so this is going to be the new, I wrote about it, it's going to be the new marketing way. You know, being responsive is going to give your brand some very good reputation, and people are going to know that, you know, okay, if I contact them, I'm going to have an answer right away. So that's
right.
And bots allow that. Basically.
Yeah, it's almost like a new star rating system, you know, one or five stars. It's like, are they going to respond or not?
Spot on. Yep, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, messaging is definitely a big deal, and responsiveness is the result of that. I mean, it's not a result of that, but it comes with it. And the same thing for handling several conversations and, you know, giving the right answer. It's all the different challenges that the businesses have when they're using messaging.
Yeah. Awesome. So what, I mean, we kind of talked about businesses. I mean, what can this do for small businesses? To you, like, what are the better use case scenarios?
The power of social messaging is that it gives you a privileged one-to-one access to customer, to your customers. So what you could do as a small business is basically opening up your channels, so allowing people to contact you on your Facebook page and maybe had a web messenger on your website. And what you could do, there's some tools, Broid allows that, but anyway, we'll see that later. But you can plug those tools to your internal communication platform. So let's say you're using Slack, for example. And you can gather the, you know, customers' queries, no automation yet, just, you know, taking all the questions, inquiries, try to answer them as much as possible. And then you're going to see some patterns. You're going to say, okay, those questions are coming back very, very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the best script I have to bring them where I want them to go.
Yeah.
So you're going to gather some very, very important data for your business. And then once you have this specific data, you can start to automate and try to maybe to build a bot about around it or some rules or whatever tool you want to use. But messaging is definitely, you know, it's quite new. So my advice is always for small businesses is to take it slow and try to understand what's the use case for their business.
Right.
So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, that was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I found helpful, specifically with ChatFuel, I'm not sure if ManyChat does this, but ChatFuel will kind of statisticize your like user responses and whatnot. So common questions and whatnot. If you don't know exactly how to go about asking customers questions and, you know, or finding out what their questions are, if you throw enough people into your bot, you'll actually start to see some of those common questions. And I've used that with clients, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't think about that.
It's very important to know what people want. I mean, that's the base of marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Providing what's needed and wanted, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. So what are with bots, I mean, you know, kind of going into a dark topic here. I mean, what are the cons? Are there any cons to to a bot.
Well, you think, well, I mean, yes, that there are, I mean, yeah, of course there are cons, and we've talked a bit about it. So the fact is to, I mean, bots are not smart, so it's pretty limiting, but the fact is people today, some people at least take for granted that conversation is the best UI for everything. Mm. That's not true. I mean, conversational UI is cool and it's great for some use case, but again, it's not gonna be adapted to anything. So that's one thing you need to make sure you're on the right UI when you're using something, when you're proposing something.
Right. So, yeah, it's a tool in the toolbox, not the only one. It's not the golden gun.
Exactly. So if you want to, instead of a form, you can have a bot that has questions. That's great. That's definitely better than the form.
Yeah.
But if I don't know if you want let's take an example of a bad use case for a bot. Well, maybe you've got a long list of things to share. For example, let's take Broid's bot, because we have a Facebook Messenger bot.
Uh-huh.
Explain what Broid is, and one of the the bad thing about that bot, I did it, so that's my bad. Is that we know when the user asks, how many any messaging apps do you have? So I just display the list of the messaging apps, and it takes more than the window, the app.
Oh.
So the user has to go back and scroll up, and it's definitely not a good UI. So you really need to make sure that, keep it short, keep it very relevant to the conversation, and make sure that, I mean, the UI is, the experience, sorry, is adapted to the UI, the limited UI you have in conversation.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay. Interesting.
Also, well, we talk about it, but messaging, if you're doing messaging for the hype of it, it's gonna maybe backlash on you, because that's what we talk about. Responsiveness and purpose are key when you're using messaging. So it can be definitely time consuming for your staff if you haven't automated anything, and
right.
It's not well thought, or if it's not scripted, or people just don't know what to answer the users. It could definitely bring you setbacks and, I mean, hurt your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I can see that. So just make sure you have it set up enough in a way that it doesn't become overwhelming.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
L'Oreal basically, that they took it slow as well, but they have their pockets are very, very deep. So they staff. But what they did is, to take an example, is they open Messenger on their Facebook page, and they received immediately hundreds of messages from users.
Wow.
Questions like, which nail polish should I use? Or is it, how do I find that, whatever, they're sending pictures and stuff. So they took, they staffed their customer service to answer those questions. Then they built a bot. That had quite a huge success. I think they made some kind of a contest or stuff like this. But again, it always goes back to understanding what your customers want, and what do they want to talk about.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I love that, that kind of idea. I mean, if a brand's big enough or a company's big enough, just kind of opening up and letting those questions come in, and then building the responses based off of that. It's like a kind of a funny way of doing a survey.
Yep, exactly.
Well, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about what your company does and why that's exciting for people. Who are you kind of set up helping to serve, and then what do you do?
Okay, so Broid is basically a funnel for all your social messaging and group messaging apps. So, but we're helping developers. Okay, so we're only providing an API, So if you're not technical at all, you're not going to be interested by Boris. Okay? So we'll like
you guys can tune out, right? Except if you're a developer. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm not going to go into the technical aspects of Boris, but just so you know, it requires some code. It requires very little code, but it still requires some code. So what do we do basically is the issue with messaging today. I mean, in terms of technology, there's one major issue, and it's the fragmentation of all the messaging protocols. Mm. Each and every app has its own API, its own documentation, schema, everything you want.
Right.
So if you're a developer of your SaaS platform, or you want to build a product around messaging, you want to use several channels, you're going to need to integrate those APIs.
Right.
And you're going to need to maintain them, and it's going to take you weeks of integration and maintain those. I mean, you can imagine that if Facebook updates its API, that you definitely need to take a look at it. So,
yeah, totally. So
what we do with Broid basically is that we built a single API that has a W3 standards. I don't know. It's like one of the biggest internet standards, and with a single schema, you have access, so you integrate this API, and then you have access to all the messaging channels. So you go to your dashboard and you activate the various messaging apps that you want to use, and Broid is basically translating your messages and your features to the channels that you want.
So it's a Rosetta Stone of sorts. Like how it just translates the information and puts it into a language that can actually be understood.
Exactly. That's why we when we started Broid, we talked about, you know, the Tower of Babel.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I think it's like tomato tomato. It's like
yeah.
I've always heard it as Tower of Babel.
Okay, so let's say Babel. It's going to be easier. And so that, you know, that's the, yeah, again, we want to solve this issue of unifying messaging for everyone, because it has no added value for a developer to integrate APIs. Okay. It's lame work. It's really not interesting. So what we want to do is for product managers and developers to just focus on their product, and we're going to solve the issue of API, of integration, actually.
That's awesome. So what are some situations where somebody would benefit from that? Like, you know, like if they're running into X, then, you know, you can provide Y service. And
well, you know, our customers are, I mean, we've got some different type of customers. So we've got bot makers, of course, people that want their bots to be available on a web messenger for website and apps. They want the bot to be available on Facebook and other tools like Line or Viber, or, you know, soon WhatsApp probably.
Sure.
So that's,
yeah, I know that's one question I see a lot in the groups is can I use ChatFuel or ManyChat, or can I use my bot on my website?
Not yet. I think they don't have that web widget.
Right.
But it's definitely a really, I mean, that's what our customers love at Boroid, that we have that web messenger, which is exactly the same features as Facebook, basically. So you've got the same experience as a Facebook Messenger, but on your website.
Wow. So it's a pretty workable workaround.
Yep. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, developers, you know, bot makers, we've got also web agencies that want to propose conversation marketing to their customers. And SaaS platforms are coming in also. And so that's the kind of people that want to use Broid. Basically, just removing the hustle of API integration.
Interesting. Well, so, okay, so awesome. So like in terms of your ideal client and people, you know, like who, I know you kind of went into it, but like specific companies or entrepreneurs, or who would best be serviced by Broid?
Okay. So, well, if you take, I don't know if you're familiar with Buffer, the company Buffer.
Oh yeah.
Well, they, I mean, I love those guys. Apart from the awesome companies they've built, they've got some great products, and now they've got this product, this platform called Buffer Reply, and basically it's really at the heart of social messaging. So you're going to use it to answer messages on Instagram and on Facebook, on your website. So it just, you know, funnels all your messages into their platform. And you can and from there you can answer and be responsive and everything for your customers. So basically, for Buffer, bro, it would be a great use case, because not a use case, or a great tool, because they would just have to integrate RPI, and then they could provide their customers with any messaging app on their platform without having to maintain anything.
Wow. That's so freaking cool.
So that's basically a message to Buffer.
Yeah,
Joel,
yeah.
Joel, intent, if you can nudge, hear nudge.
Wink, wink. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
So that's the kind of use case we're looking for.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So if somebody wanted to get more information on services and whatnot, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, pretty easily. I mean, just go to the website. So it's Broid, broid.ai. There you can try the web messenger with our bots, and which going to take you on the tour of the features. And you've got everything you need there. And otherwise, you can also talk to our bot on our Facebook page. So just tap Broid and you'll find the page. And also you can if you're a developer and you want to go technical, you can check out our GitHub repo, because we are open source.
So okay,
you can use Broid for free. It's not very expensive at all, but if you want to self-host, you can do it for free, and we're happy to help with any technical questions you have on our Slack community. So we have a Slack that we use to answer any questions we have. And all the links are available on either the GitHub repo or the website.
Awesome. Well, cool. And I'll link to that in the show notes as well, the website. Perfect. And how to get a hold of you. So that's awesome. Well, Cyril, thank you very much for coming on. That's it's actually really exciting.
It was a pleasure.
It might not be for everybody, because but for developers, people who like to geek out about that sort of stuff, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, awesome. We'll see. I mean, we're going to improve, of course, the product with time, and maybe propose some end-to-end product for people that are not technical.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we really want to focus on developers that have the biggest problem.
Totally. I mean, just that the Tower of Babel analogy, that's so appropriate. So appropriate. Well, awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on. And then, hope to have you on again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Well, guys, I hope that opened your eyes a little bit to what's possible with messaging apps. There's so much news coming out of this industry. It's ridiculous. I'm just happy to kind of be able to be here for you and provide some info and kind of keep people coming on to talk about this this bot world and this ever-changing technology. It's super exciting. But if you haven't done yet, I'd encourage you to subscribe, leave a review. I was looking at my non-existent reviews. If you haven't left a review yet, I'd really appreciate it. It might help me even get to the new and noteworthy section. So if you can take 20 or 30 seconds there, just leave an honest review. Even if it's like, hey, dude, I hate your show. I'm fine with that. Just let me know what you want changed. But any sort of review would be awesome. That way I get a little bit more traction over here, and then help even more people. But once again, thanks for stopping by, guys. It's really exciting to go over this. I'm happy to share it with people. If you do have bot questions, feel free to reach out to me on Messenger or Facebook or however you find this. I'll do what I can. I've had some random people message me recently, and I always kind of smile, because it's like, wow, I didn't know anybody in that country was listening to me. So it's pretty cool. I always like to do what I can. But awesome, guys. Enjoy your day, and talk to you again soon.